So I'll just begin by reading from Matthew 24, verse 26. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the stress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming days of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is the word of the Lord, and I'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, please give us hearts that long for Christ's glorious return. Help us to keep watch amid the distractions of life. And while we wait patiently, lead us those which will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our reading this morning concerns the undeniable, sudden, and soon return of Christ. And if that day is fast approaching, how should we live today? And so two things I learned about the coming of Christ in this passage. The first thing is it's an unknown time of return. It's easy to be prepared when you know to expect someone. But the longer the possible window of arrival, the harder it is to be prepared. And if Jesus could return today or tomorrow or in a year's time or in a thousand years' time, it's so easy to get distracted with other things because we can feel like we can put it off with things like wealth, relationships, politics, or the pleasures of this life. And so the first point I just realized about this verse is it's quite hard, I think, to know when, and it's hard to wait. The second thing is that there will be deceit and pain in the meantime. In this passage, Jesus warns us about false prophets and false messiahs who will deceive many people in the end times. He tells us not to be swayed by their false teachings and to stay true to his word. And Jesus also warns of wars, famines, earthquakes, and persecution. And so I feel like in this passage also, in addition to not knowing when, it's quite clear that it will be painful in the meantime. And so as I reflected, I was thinking, how should we respond to that these truths if we're to live now? What does keeping watch for us look like today? And so I would suggest that we live as if he's already here and now, which is true. Because God did not leave earth only to come back to us at the end times. He's active and his mission continues to this day. And our lives should reflect that. So as we live in these end times, we must order our lives in such a way so that we won't be ashamed, not only when we see him at the coming of the end, but also when we see him in our day-to-day. And so I'll just share a short story about how this lesson has been impacted my life personally. There was a member of my house church named John Huang, who maybe some of you remember. He was at SP, and then he's now in Seattle. But before he left during COVID, we went out to dinner, and the whole dinner was basically him encouraging me to give my whole life to God. And I was kind of taken back because I'm already a Christian. But I think, looking back, I think that dinner really has transformed the way I live my life today. And the way that he emphasized it was that the gospel is the type of decision that we accept. It's not a decision we can compartmentalize. For example, if you choose whether to eat ice cream, whether it's chocolate or vanilla. But for us, the gospel changes every aspect of our life. It becomes our true north. And so he was encouraging me in the midst of just disappointment in my life in terms of career to not just focus on that, but to give my whole life to God. And for me, that it started in small steps, whether that was starting to find accountability partners or becoming more involved and things that I saw God was doing. And over the years, one of those at work has been, after we did a series about missions and work at church, John Koshy started a fellowship at work at Jardines where we work together. And so I started becoming more involved in that and trying to be more aware of what God is doing at work instead of always thinking about how to get ahead for myself. And in the past year, that has really, been given me an opportunity to experience God in a new way. And over a year ago, I changed a job to work in a place where I felt like it was kind of my dream job. I was able to do investment banking for Jardines in-house, and I was quite happy with it because I was working retail before, and I didn't know that I could make a change like this, but 2 weeks into the job, they restructured the whole company, and I lost that role, and they put me in another place where it was like an internal startup. I kind of enjoyed that too. It was not the same, but I learned new things. I opened new doors for me. But 1 year into that role, the business was not going well, and so the company decided to shut us down. And during that, my boss took me out for drinks to let me know of the decision to shut us down. And during that conversation, surprisingly, I look back, my focus was not on whether I lost my job or what I'll do, but that in our conversation, I felt God calling me to talk about the gospel. And because she was sharing with me about how she wants her son to grow up without the feeling of needing to earn his acceptance or love. And I opened the door for me to share the gospel, and I did. And thankfully, since then, she's come to church. She's visited, and I'm not sure where she's at now, but I'm thankful that, and I look back, and I think of all the negative things that happened at work. Maybe that it was all worth it just because of that one conversation in responding to God and what he's doing. And so even though things, I think, in this passage shows us it's difficult, but I think that in my experience, it also has good in it. in my current job, when I interviewed, when we introduce ourselves, I felt like I should talk about faith. And so the whole interview for about an hour was talking about faith, and we didn't really talk about the job. I didn't even know what the job was about. And in the end, they hired me. And it turned out to be something I really enjoy doing. It'll bring me back to Thailand, where I grew up, and to bring the business to Southeast Asia again. And so, I think, just going back to the passage, we don't know when, and it's going to be painful. It's not going to be all good. But I think we do have an assurance of how the end will come, and we also don't need to wait until the end for the good to happen, because God is active in our everyday, and we just need to be aware, listen, and respond to whatever He is saying now. And so I'll just wrap up with just an encouragement to just not to wait, just to be aware now and to be involved now, without having to think and predict when is God coming, but just listen to God today and just respond. And so the worship. So before we get into that, I'll just share the intercessory prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are trapped in the sex industry and the victims of human trafficking, both adults and children. We pray for those who are responsible for these ungodly activities. We pray that you will convict their hearts of their sins. We pray that those who are trapped will want freedom. We pray that all of them will come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord and God. We trust that after they are transformed by you, they will be a blessing to many people on earth. We pray that you will set these people free from whatever is holding them in bondage. As your ecclesia in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bind down the evil spirits that are holding these people in bondage and render them powerless. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Shame is gone, and sin amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.